in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. Just go ahead, worship Him, celebrate Him, adore Him. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Go ahead and fellowship with Him. Mandobo raga basakata, imbragada sopregida kabadia. Go ahead and minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. Shaligabado sepeletia. Kalabarando Suvrahadila Onde Pura Sabaladi Shatatata. He has come to do you good. He has come for your divine upgrade. He has come to shift you up supernaturally. He has come to transform your life. He has come to give you wisdom. He has come to empower you, to equip you, to enlighten you. He has come to illuminate your mind. He has come to heal your body, heal your mind, heal your emotion, heal your spirit. He has come to deliver the oppressed. He has come to break every chain and break every yoke. He has come to set the captives free. He has come to deliver you from every addiction. He has come, Mandabaya, Likoboto Sabatai, to shift you from glory to glory. He said, we all, beholding us in a mirror, the glory of God, we are being changed. We are being transfigured. We are being transmogrified. We are being metamorphosed from one level of glory to another level of glory. Mandabaya, He has come to transport you to your next and higher dimension. He has come to transport you to your next level of victory, your next and higher dimension of glory, higher dimension of success, of greatness. Onda balako sepeletenia, mandabako shalabadia. What a sweet, sweet presence. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. In Jesus' name. Father, we welcome your mighty presence in our midst. We reverence your presence. We honor you. We adore you. Our hearts and minds are open to receive all that you have for us. Do for us and do in us and do with us what only you can do. Father, enlighten the eyes of our understanding Let your glory be revealed in a fresh and in a unique way. Thank you, Father. Let no life remain the same after this encounter. Touch us, transform us, transport us, shift us up speedily, supernaturally. Thank you, Father. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for enlightenment. Thank you for empowerment. We give you the glory. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, clap your hands, O you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. In high places, welcome to metamorphosis. I say metamorphosis. Yes. By the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost will be metamorphosing you. It's a school of the Spirit. It's a we all beholding as in a mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The glory of the Lord. We are being what? Change. That change there is metamorphy. From where they get the word metamorphosis. Glory to God. So get ready to be transfigured, to be transformed, to be transmogrified, to be metamorphosed by the Spirit of God as you behold Him in His Word. Hallelujah. This is the grand finale of the prophetic teaching series that we've been on, By My Spirit. This is By My Spirit Part 3. Glory to God. Zechariah 4 verse 6, our anchor scripture, Zechariah 4 verse 6. It says, "This is the word of the Lord." Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, that the vision of the candlestick, the lampstand between two olive trees." Hallelujah. He said, "This is the meaning of that vision. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might." And in this context, he's talking about human what? Might. Glory to God. "Not by might, nor by power." Glory to God. There are things that you cannot do by your own might and power. There are things that human connection cannot give you. There are things that human beings cannot do for you. Am I communicating? Even if you know the president, even if you know the US president, glory to God, there are things human beings cannot do for you. There are things you cannot do by your qualification, as in your human qualification. There are some kind of result that your certificate cannot get you. Am I communicating? It says, "Not by human might, not by human power, but," somebody say, "but." This is where we got our team from. "But by my spirit." Whose spirit? Help me. Whose spirit? Come on, shout it. Whose spirit? "By my spirit, saith the Lord." That's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. And we saw last week that the Holy Spirit, though he is a third member of the Godhead is made up of God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is a third member of the Godhead, but he was the first to be revealed to us in scriptures. Glory to God. And we are currently living in the church age, and the church is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit that is living in the church, empowering the church, equipping the church, partnering with the church in order to carry out the business of the kingdom. Am I communicating? So the Holy Spirit is your indispensable helper of destiny. Did you hear what I said? The Holy Spirit
is your indispensable helper of destiny. You cannot do without him. No Christian can live the authentic Christian life without the help of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. Effective Christianity is not possible without the help of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Without the partnership, without the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the life of a believer, you cannot live the Christian life. Impossible. So he is indispensable. He's indispensable. In your destiny race, you cannot have a great and glorious destiny. In fact, you cannot fulfill God's will, God's plan and purpose for your life without the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Yonggi Cho wrote a book. He said, "The Holy Spirit, my senior partner." Because he came to recognize the partnership of the Spirit. Glory to God. I say glory to God. It was the Holy Spirit that helped him to become the pastor emeritus. He's now retired. Glory to God. He built the world's largest church. He pastored the world's largest church, close to a million congregation as at then, but now he's retired. All of that was possible because he learned how to partner with the Holy Spirit. He recognized the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he took advantage of it. He partnered with the Holy Spirit. That's why he called him Holy Spirit, my senior partner. Is he your senior partner? Glory to God. You want to do big things? It's by my Spirit. It's by my Spirit. This is the formula. It's not by human might. It's not by human power. But by my Spirit, saith the Lord. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Is the secret of success. In fact, I always tell people the Holy Spirit is the ultimate secret of success and greatness. He is what? The ultimate. Somebody say ultimate. If you learn to recognize him, partner with him, if you learn to hear him, hear his voice and obey what he tells you, you cannot be a failure in life. You cannot be a failure in life. He is the ultimate secret of success and greatness. I sing praises to your name. Play that for me. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. Yes, I sing praises to salvation to us in Christ. The Holy Spirit is God's greatest, most important gift of salvation to us in Christ, is the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 37. Peter preaching to the crowd on the day of Pentecost, the crowd that gathered, you know, he preached to them. And then the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. who pricked their heart, who convicted them. It was the Holy Spirit. They came under the convicting power of the Spirit. And you remember, Peter, they just had the Pentecostal experience, glory to God, in which the Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind and filled 120 in the upper room, and then they started speaking in tongues and he empowered them. And now after Peter preached to this crowd of over 3,000, no, they were more than 3,000, because the Bible says 3,000 got saved. So we don't know how many of them were there. You understand? Except all of them got saved. Glory to God. They were pricking their heart and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift, not a gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. He called the Holy Ghost the gift. He is the greatest gift of salvation. He is the greatest gift of God's salvation to us in Christ. Hallelujah. You must treasure it. Esteem it highly. This is the greatest thing God did for us, to give us the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. And the Holy Spirit is not one third God. It's not one third God. One third is what? 33.33%. The Holy Spirit is fully God. The Holy Spirit is 100% God. Hallelujah! He's co-equal with the Father and the Son in glory, in sovereignty, in authority, and in power. In fact, the Holy Ghost is a custodian of all of God's power. Everything God does, he does by his word, through the power of his Spirit. Is the ability of the Godhead. Am I communicating? So he's not one third God. No, many Christians have a very wrong idea. There's so much ignorance about the Holy Spirit. You know, some people think God the Father is the most powerful, followed by God the Son, Jesus. Then the Holy Ghost is like the least powerful. That's wrong thinking. That's wrong thinking. Do you know the Holy Ghost created you using God's word? Give me Job 33 verse 4. The Holy Spirit is your creator in partnership with God's word. Yes. Job 33 verse 4. Help me. 1, 2, 3, go. The Spirit of God had made me. This is Job speaking. The Spirit of God had what? Made me. And the breath, the ruach, the bring, the wind, that's spirit in Hebrew. The ruach, the breath of the Almighty, has given me life. The Holy Spirit is your creator. He made you. And the Holy Spirit is your life giver. He is the life source. He gave you life. Am I communicating? So, the Holy Spirit is fully God. That's why it's called the Spirit of God. Understand, look up. You see, when we said the Godhead, the concept of Trinity, the three in one God, you see, these are, I think I've explained the Trinity before. I've given different illustrations. It's one God manifesting himself in three distinct personalities, and each member of the Godhead have their unique characteristics, their distinct personality. There are things that are peculiar to each of them. For instance, is of all the three members of the Godhead, only Jesus has a body. Only Jesus has a body. Why? Because he came to this earth, Mary Pekin. He got his body from Mary. Am I communicating? Only him has a name. Jesus, the name of Jesus. Both God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they respond to that name. They answer to that name. Are you getting me? Each of them have their unique personality. God the Father, you don't pray to the Holy Spirit. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray to God the Father. Your prayer is always directed to God the Father. Each of them, they have their unique personality. They have their unique function. Glory to God. And it's the same God. It's the same God. Praise God. I say praise God. You don't pray in any other name. You pray in the name of Jesus. And you direct the prayer to God. God the Father. God the Father is forever on the throne. He does not leave the throne. Everything he does anywhere, he does by his Spirit. Are you getting me? It's the Holy Spirit that brings to us the presence of Christ. He's the one that brings to us the presence of God the Father. Now ask yourself, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Right now, where is Jesus? Okay, when somebody is getting born again, he says, Jesus, come into my heart. And then, who brings the presence of the Christ to the person's heart? It's the Holy Spirit. You can't even be born again without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, nobody can say Jesus is Lord except he's under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And nobody that is under the influence of the Holy Spirit will call Jesus accursed. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts people, that convicts sinners and brings them to the point of repentance. The godly sorrow that worketh repentance is a job of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? He will convict the world of righteousness, of sin, and of judgment. Glory to God. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, they heard the message. It was a spirit-filled message. The Holy Spirit pricked their heart. He convicted them, the sinners, and then they gave their life to Christ. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit makes evangelism to be sweet and productive and effective. Zechariah 4 verse 6, it says, not by human might, not by human power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, interesting expression. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. He is the Lord of the harvest. We saw that in Luke 10 verse 2. We saw that in Matthew 9, 36 and 37. He said, pray. He said, the harvest truly is great, is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will what? Send forth laborers into his harvest field. Glory to God. In other words, we cannot reap the mega harvest without the partnership of the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord of the harvest. So we must partner with the Lord of the harvest for us to reap our multidimensional mega harvest in all areas of life. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Say yet the Lord of hosts. Say yet the Lord of hosts. Go back to Zechariah 4 verse 6. He said, not by human might, not by human power, but by my Spirit, say yet the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is one of the war names of God. It's one of the warfare names of God. That Lord of hosts simply means the Lord of the army, the angelic army. The army of angelic hosts. Glory to God. The Lord himself is their captain. Is their commanding officer. Why host? Because a battle or warfare is involved. Glory to God. I say battle and warfare is involved. Battle and warfare is a similar expression in Romans chapter 9 verse 29. It calls him the Lord of Sabaoth. The Lord of Sabaoth. Lord of Sabaoth is the same as Lord of Hosts. They mean the same thing. Okay? That's the Lord of the armies of angels, the Lord of the armies of angels that are organized for war, not for fun. They are organized for what? Battle formation. Warfare. Why? Because God knows that there will be contention over your harvest. He knows that there will be conflict over your harvest. That's why he's showing up big as what? The Lord of hosts. As what? The Lord of Sabaoth. He's not coming alone. He's coming with a what? Host of angels. In case any devil want to bam, silence him. Glory to God. Don't be afraid of warfare and battles. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They that be for us are more than they that be with them. Am I communicating? In the Old Testament, can you remember the story of Elisha when he was at Dothan and his servant came up early in the morning to wash his face, and then he saw, wow, the Syrian host had encircled them, and he saw everywhere, he saw soldiers with chariots and all of that, and fear gripped his heart. He said, alas, my master, how shall we do? But the man of God was unperturbed. Elijah was calm. Why? Because he knew. You see, it matters what you are conscious of. It matters. Are you conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit with you? Are you conscious of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit? Are you conscious of the presence of the myriad of angels? He said, ye are come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable, uncountable company of angels. Are you conscious of the angels sent to preserve you, to protect you, to supply your needs, to provide for you, to partner with you? Are you conscious of them? Am I communicating? Elijah, he told the servant that was paralyzed with fear when he saw the soldiers, the army that came to arrest them. He said, they that be for us are more than they that be with them. So, the physical Syrian host of soldiers were led by a demonic host. There was a host of demons that was leading and motivating them to go and arrest Elisha. But Elisha was conscious of the cherubims, the angelic horses and chariot of fire that are with them. And then he now prayed for the young man, the servant. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when God opened his eyes, he saw that they were surrounded by horses and chariots of fire, angelic hosts that outnumbered even the Syrian army. It outnumbered even the demons that was leading that Syrian army, the invisible army of demons, battalion of demons that was leading the visible battalion of the Syrian host. Am I communicating? What's the world population now? They say it's around 8.45 billion. You know, do you know that there are more demons than human beings on planet Earth? The demons are on satanic mission. Satan sent them on a mission to steal, kill, destroy, to take people to hell, to cause sickness, disease, oppress people, confuse people. All the things that are making this Earth a bad place to be are caused by demons. Am I communicating? There are more demons than human beings. But here is the good news. There are even more angels than the demons. The number of angels outnumber the demons. And the number of demons outnumber the human population. So the earth is a very spiritual place. So, you know, some people don't understand that life is very spiritual. This earth, in fact, the Hebrew people, the Jews, they don't even see a separation between the visible and the invisible realm, between the physical and the spiritual world. They don't see any separation. The earth is an ecosystem in the realm of the spirit. It's just a visible part of the spiritual realm. The earth is part of the realm of the spirit. The earth is a part and parcel of the larger spiritual world. is just the visible part. Glory to God. Because there are angelic operations on earth, there are also demonic operations on earth. And both, that means the invisible beings on earth are more than the visible. The unseen beings, demons and angels, are more than the human population. By far. It's dangerous not to be spiritually minded. It's dangerous to just be carnally minded. The earth is a very spiritual environment. Especially Nigeria. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody just got promotion. He just got started blessing the person. The next day, the person woke up in the morning, opened door, he saw pot. They kept pot. Black, red pot with with jazz in front of the door of the house. Welcome to Nigeria. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, be spiritually minded. Walk in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord of hosts, who is the Lord of Sabaoth, who is also the Lord of the harvest, has been given to help you, even in spiritual warfare, to fight for you and help you, help give you the victory. Glory to God. Because there are contentions and conflict over your harvest. That's why the Holy Spirit is rising for you. Is rising for you as the Lord of hosts. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace, and you shall get the victory. Glory to God. Now give me John 14:16. John 14:16. The Holy Spirit has a ministry. He has been sent to fulfill a ministry in us and a ministry through us. Glory to God. Let's look at 7 things that the Holy Spirit will do in you. 7 things the Holy Spirit will do in you. You see, he is talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. In a believer, when he comes into your life, there are 7 things the Holy Spirit has been assigned to do. He said, I will pray the Father, John 14:16. He shall give you another comforter. Allos Paracletus. One summoned, called to go with you side by side. A paraclete. Allos, another. Allos. The Greek word for another is allos, not heteros. Not heteros. Allos. That means another one of the same kind. In other words, Jesus is saying, is another kind of Jesus. Are you getting me? Another one of the same kind. He is fully God, just like Jesus is. I like the way Benny Hinn put it. He said when Jesus was on earth, he was localized. He can only be in one place at the same time because he was living in a human body. But when the Holy Ghost came and filled every believer, it's now like Jesus unlimited. Am I communicating? So, him and Jesus, they are of the same kind, but he's another one. Glory to God. He has his own unique characteristics. For instance, Jesus has a body of his own when he was on earth, but the Holy Spirit does not have a body of his own. He lives in believers. He lives in us. Our body are his temple. He walks in us. He perambulates in us. He lives in us individually as Christians and collectively as a church. Another one of the same kind, not another one of a different kind. That's heteros. Paracletus, one someone called to walk with you side by side. He says that he may abide with you. What's the tenure of his stay? Help me. Forever. He has come to dwell in us and to be with us forever. Now listen, some people have thought wrongly that if when you sin, the Holy Spirit will get angry and check out of his accommodation, which is inside you. He will leave you. If he leaves you, you are lost forever. You are lost. Do you know, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be raptured?
Which power will make you go up? Is it not the power of the Spirit? Is it from within? It will propel you up. at the last trump, when Archangel Michael sound that trumpet, believers, believers who are alive, who are looking eagerly towards the coming of the Lord, who are spiritually alert, am I communicating? These are the ones the Bible says we shall be caught up. Are you getting me? It's the power of the Spirit that will make you go up. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be raptured. In fact, without Him, you can't even go to heaven. Impossible. You can't be saved without Him. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not in support of a Christian sinning. In fact, there are some sin that can vex him, that can make him sad. He's not happy. But listen, it does not mean he will now get angry and live your life. That is where the wrong teaching comes in. This is what he does. Whenever you sin and do something bad, he is sad, he's not happy. But he will be there to help you to overcome that sin, to overcome that sinful addiction. Without his help, you cannot even overcome sin. Are you getting me? He does not leave. He helps you with his grace. He helps you with his mercy. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's when you are messing up that you need him the most. So don't run away from God when you sin. Run towards him, because only him can help you. It's the voice of condemnation and guilt, sponsored by Satan, that will tell you, you have messed up, you have sinned. Run away from God. Stop going to church. Don't pray again. Don't read Bible again. Don't come for AGMI service. So how can you be helped? Can you now see that voice telling you all those things is Satan? Because all the places and method by which you will receive help is disconnecting you from them. Am I communicating? He's your helper. When you make mistakes, you make errors, you miss the mark, he will be there to help you. He helps us in our weaknesses. He knows the weaknesses and limitations of a human being. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. He is the solution to your weakness. He is the limit breaker. He gives you the power to live above sin. Am I communicating? Listen, it doesn't matter the addiction. Every believer, you have the power to break free from every addiction. All you need to do, just wake up one day and tell yourself that sin has no power over me. You will walk out of any addiction. You can break it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. You are not a slave. No. You are not a victim. No. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. He's there to help you. He's your helper. John 14:26. Are you learning something? So, please, when you sin and mess up, don't run away from God. Don't run away from His presence. It's foolish. It's foolishness to do that. Okay, if you are running away from God, let me ask you, who are you running to? Who will you now go to for help? Is he human being or is he Satan? Show me. Which of them? If you are wise, that's when you should run to God. You should run with every speed you can muster. Run towards him, because he is your solution. He is your helper. Like the prodigal son, run to him. He will never reject you. Am I communicating? He said, I will never ever leave you. I will never ever forsake you. That's God speaking there. That's why he came to dwell in us. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And he has come to live with us for how long? What's the duration of his stay? Forever.
forever.
He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. You see, he's your teacher. As you can see, he's a person. He has been sent from the Father, and he was sent in the name of Jesus. He says he teaches, okay, and he brings all things to your remembrance. See, if you have any problem of forgetfulness, that's you easily forget. All you need to do, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He will activate your memory and make you to have a magnetic memory. Are you getting me? From a forgetful memory to a what? Magnetic memory. It will anoint your mind. He says, he will bring all things to your remembrance. Not just spiritual things, all things. All things. It can help you remember things. Sometimes you can just be walking on the road and then a message you heard in AGMI, you heard me preach, the Holy Spirit can bring it to your remembrance because he knows that you need it at that point. He may speak to you that way. He may even use the voice of your teacher, the voice of your pastor to talk to you. It may be in form of a message or a meeting. He will just transport you to a meeting you were around and then cause you to hear something that I said, because that thing is the solution to your problem. Are you getting my point? It's the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things, not just spiritual things. He will teach you physics. He will teach you engineering. He will teach you which equation now? Which one is very hard? You know, Navier-Stokes. He will teach you those things. All things, academic things, things in your career. All things. Say with me, nothing is too difficult for me. Because I have an indwelling teacher. He is the best teacher. His name is the Holy Spirit. He teach you all things. He will teach you about life. He will teach you about romance. You don't need all those romance movies. You don't need all those Hadley and Chase romance novel. The Bible and the Holy Spirit is enough for you. It's more than enough. All those soap operas you are watching, Telemundo, Z-World. Say, you know, the Bible did not talk much about romance. We have to learn it. Have you read Songs of Solomon?
Yeah.
Have you asked the Holy Spirit to show? You know, he will teach you all things. Every subject of life is fully covered. He will show you how to love your husband more, how to love your wife more, how to submit and show respect and honor to your husband, how to, the secret of successful marriage. He will tell you, you they talk too much. Don't be talking, you know, your husband talk one, you talk 20. Calm down. Be calming down. He will teach you those things. You understand? And you as a man, when your wife is angry, she talk, he will tell you, don't reply. The Holy Spirit, Farabale, Farabale, he will be telling you, Farabale, just relax, relax, don't be angry. You know, he is the secret, every area of life. He will teach you about finance. He will teach you more than those financial gurus you are following. He will show you how to invest. He will tell you the time to put in your money. Some of us, we trust the advice of those brokers. Those, is it stock brokers? All those crypto, what are those people called? Those ones that give advice on crypto, eh? What are they called? All those analysts. We trust them more than we trust the Holy Spirit. Is that not why we are losing money? Do those experts know what demons are planning to do to the market in the next few months or few years? Why don't you listen to the one that knows the future? The one that owns the future, that knows the future. Let him advise you. I'm not saying that learning from all those financial experts and technocrats and all of that is bad. But don't just make final decisions based on what they tell you. Consult with the Holy Spirit before you invest. Are you getting me? John D. Rockefeller was supposed to invest into the company that built Titanic. Remember that Titanic, that massive, gigantic ship? John D. Rockefeller, he was supposed to invest. Everybody told him to invest, but the Holy Spirit said he should not invest. Because the Holy Spirit knows that that project will fail. In the physical, it looks as if it's impossible for it to fail. The experts were too sure. They were too sure. If one of them said, even God cannot drown the ship. They were that sure. They've done all the calculation, you know, in their brain. Your brain is too small. The Holy Spirit is bigger than your brain. Calm down. And we all know how the story ended. Titanic did not make its first journey, voyage. And that's how all the people that invested in that project, they lost their money. John D. Rockefeller would have lost his money if he had not listened to the Holy Spirit. Don't just go by prospect. You know, all those people, if they want you to invest, they get sugar-coated mouth. When they market to you, marketing, forget human beings. Glory to God. But as they are talking to you, be listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit too. Yeah, you have to be smart. Hear all they have to say. Get all the information, because you don't invest in something you don't understand. Get to understand the nitty-gritty. Get the fact right. Then put them one corner. Go before the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you saying? Anything you say is final answer. That is how you do it. If you learn to operate this way, all those unnecessary losses, you will not be suffering. Glory to God. I just helped somebody now. Give me this in Amplified. But the Comforter, okay, let's look at the synonyms for him. Number one, look at the seven things the Holy Spirit will do in you as a believer. Okay, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. Number one, he is our Comforter. Number two, he is our Counselor. Number three, he is our Helper. See, the moment you receive the Holy Spirit, from that moment, stop saying, I don't have anybody to help me. Delete that statement from your dictionary. You are not helpless. He is your greatest destiny helper. He is the most important destiny helper you need. When you understand that and walk with him and obey him, he will bring to you all the human destiny helpers you need. Value him above all other human helpers. Am I communicating? Is your indispensable helper. Is your Comforter. Is your Counselor. Is your Intercessor. Glory to God. Is your Advocate. Advocate is a legal term. It means counsel for the defense. Counsel for the defense. So when Satan comes with false accusation against you, even the ones that are even true, you have an advocate with the Father. I say we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ is our advocate. And the Holy Ghost has been sent in his name. So he's our advocate. He said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He said, these things I write to you that ye sin not. But in case any man sin, don't kill yourself. He said, we have an advocate with the Father. Don't be a victim of self-guilt, condemnation and all of that from the devil. He said, we have an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. He died for your sins. He paid the price. Am I communicating? His blood is on that mercy seat. It's for the one of the ministry of the blood of Jesus in the heavenly holy of holies on that mercy seat. One of the assignment is for the forgiveness of sins. Am I communicating? It's for the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You hear the testimony of our brother, Media HOD, Minister Moses, that the devil, oh my God, you can see what the weight of condemnation and guilt can do. And when he was speaking, the Holy Spirit was telling me, he said, it's not just him. He said, there are some believers, even some are here, that are suffering from this same kind of thing. They are suffering with the weight of guilt and condemnation that the devil has put on them. To the point that the devil even made him believe he has blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. So can you see? He was doing prayer stretch, but condemnation. No results. You see? So you see why we teach God's word? It's so important. Ah, the Bible says, you shall know the truth. And the truth that you know shall make you free. Deliverance comes by revelation knowledge of the truth. So teachers are deliverance ministers in quote. The teaching ministry is also a deliverance ministry. So maybe one day I'll do one funny message. You know, people think deliverance is only when you say, what's your name? You say, Apollyon. What's your brother's name? So, which region are we from? Are you from? How many are you people? You know, believers are funny. They don't understand. Listen. Deliverance comes two ways. Number one, through revelation knowledge of the truth. Number two, through the raw power of God, the anointing. We cast out demons too. We've seen deliverance in this ministry by both method. By both method. And I always like to add, even when you receive deliverance by the manifestation of the power of God, you still need the correct teaching of God's word, the revelation knowledge of the truth, to sustain and maintain the deliverance, or else the demons will come back later. Am I communicating? This is very important. This is why we empower people, we enlighten them with the truth, raw teaching of God's word. He lived for how many years, sir, without condemnation and guilt? For how many years? 3 years. So you can see people can be praying and fasting, but they are living in ignorance. They are feeling condemned. They are living in guilt and condemnation. So they cannot maximize and take advantage of all those benefits of their prayer. Their prayer is like, and fasting is like in vain, in quotes. Nothing empowers like knowledge. Let me tell you something. How will you know you have not committed the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? It's very simple. As long as you are worried that you have committed the sin, it shows that you have not committed it. For some of us, when we tried to fake speaking in tongues those days, Satan will tell you, you are blaspheming against the Holy Ghost, so no forgiveness for you. And then we are not worried, we are not troubled, feeling condemned. As long as you are feeling that way, it shows you've not committed the sin. Because blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is the only sin that cannot be repented of. It cannot be repented of. In other words, the person will not be even convicted at all of the sin. You see, listen. Because as I'm teaching, deliverance is coming to so many people. Listen, the fact that you are worried that you have committed it is proof positive you have not committed it. Because the person that has committed that sin will not be worried, will not even be convicted, will not seek repentance. Any sin that you feel convicted of and you repent of is not the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. It's not. When people blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, they cannot repent of that sin because they will not even be convicted of that sin in the first place. Ask yourself, who convicts sinners? Is it not the Holy Spirit? So if it does not convict you, can you repent? The Bible says it is godly sorrow that worketh repentance. So the fact that you were feeling bad all those years was proof positive. Oh, I wish you had come earlier. Glory to God. You understand? You see, this is very important. It's a lie. Remember, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. That, is that not how he lied to me too? Me too have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Because I tried speaking in tongues. Glory to God. You see that he's a liar, but just like he has been lying to some of you too. But today is the end of those lies. I said today is the end of those lies. Satan is a liar and the father of it. When he speaks to you, don't believe him. If Satan tells you your name is Sheun, don't believe him. It's a lie. It's a lie, not necessarily because of what he said, but because of who said it. If Satan tells you today is Sunday, don't believe him. Because why? Because of the person that said it. He's a father of lies. Lying is in his DNA. It is his native language. Am I communicating? So, the Holy Spirit is our intercessor, advocate, strengthener. When you feel weak, he strengthens you. He says, Paul, pray that ye might be strengthened with might by the Holy Ghost in your inner man. He's the one that infuses you with supernatural strength. We looked at the seven spirit of God last week. And one of them is the spirit of might. It gives you strength. He's your standby. Hey, like a standby gen. You know, when NEPA take light. When PHCN takes their light. And then you have a standby gen. You know, you are not worried. It's like that standby gen. It's like that solar that you change to. When there is no NEPA light, you switch to. You know, in other words, when you run out of every option, just know that you have one left. That option does not ever run out. It cannot run out. He must always deliver. His name is called the Holy Ghost. He's your standby. When every other person leaves you, David said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Holy Ghost is forever with you. He will never ever leave you. He will never ever forsake you. Human beings may forsake you. Friends may forsake you. People may forsake you. They may give up on you. Listen, nobody believes in you like the Holy Spirit. He believes in you more than you believe in yourself. He believes in you so much, more than even your parents or friends or loved ones. He's the only person that believes in you the way he does. Only him. Am I communicating? You know, there are so many people around you that don't believe in you. Some may even say they believe in you with their mouth, but their actions betray that statement. You can see that from their action, they don't believe in you. You share the vision or something God put in your heart to do with them, they discourage you. Because they don't really believe you can do it. But the Holy Spirit believes you can do it. He believes you can do it. He believes in you. Glory to God. He loves you more than any other person. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the best friend anybody can have. He is my best friend, followed by my wife. Glory to God. And he's teaching me how to befriend my wife better. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is the best lover. It's not these chewing gum boyfriends that will run away. I love you with one mouth. By the second mouth, they have spoken to five other girls behind your back. He is the best lover. He cannot break your heart. Your heart is safe in his hands. You know, when ladies come cry, you know, there was one lady like that some years back in our ministry. She's no longer here herself. You know, he came, so person broke my heart, was crying. I gave her a handkerchief. No, when people are crying, allow them cry, oh. Don't stop them. Allow them cry. Then after they have cried, then now, let's continue from there. What next now? Are you getting me? See, before you commit your heart to somebody, did you confirm whether he values the heart in the first place? Did you confirm whether he can take good care of it? Be wise, oh. Ladies, be wise, because ladies are the victims of heartbreak most times. You understand? Because when heartbreak happened, the guy has moved on. In fact, by the following week, the guy has got another girlfriend. The lady, 2 months, 3 months, she's still crying and weeping. Crying over spilled milk. The guy has moved on. You are still crying and weeping. I gave him my heart. I trusted him. Did you confirm he could take care of it? Does he have the capacity? The one that his eyes is moving as if it's 4:15. Anything on skirt, his eyes is moving. Did you confirm? Are you not a fool? You went and entrusted your heart to somebody that you know cannot manage it, cannot keep it well, does not cherish it. The proof of love is sacrifice. It's sacrifice. Am I communicating? How many men can collect bullet for their wife? God forbid. Listen, God forbid. Just imagine, I'm robber. Say, oh yeah, one of you or your wife. I'm going to shoot one now. How many men can collect bullet for their wife? But Jesus collected bullet for us. And the church is the bride of Christ. We are his wife. He proved his love on the cross. That he even died for us in our place. He died our death. And the church is the bride of Christ. That is how men ought to love their wives. As a lady, don't marry a man that does not love you that way. Not this with mouth. Check for sacrifice. How many times has he gone out of his way to do things for you? I'm not talking of trade by barter love. The one that he give you money is looking for sex in return. I'm not talking of trade by barter love. Give and take. That one a businessman. I'm talking of real love. Not business transaction love. Transactional love. I give you money for air. I give you money for school fees. I give you money for back. And then one day, payday. With all these things I have done, can't I just test once? That one I trade by barter love. Praise God. See, true love gives without any hope, without expecting to receive anything. That's true love. Anybody that gives, but the giving na business, they are expecting something from you in return. That's not a true love-motivated giving. The Bible says, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have anything to offer him. Are you getting me? As a lady, when a guy gives you anything, if he attaches anything to that giving, as in expecting something from you, question mark. That's not the kind of Christ-like love. That one a business transactional love. Praise God. Know the difference. You see, I respect my wife because one of the reasons I respect her, if I was surprised, I said, do women like this exist? Do you know, throughout when we were doing dating and courtship, my wife never asked me for a dime, not even once. Never. Listen, calm down. Listen. that a lot of ladies are materialistic. They don't tear eye. I mean, they see you like this. They look for what to get. Urgent 2K, now they have increased it. Say oil price don't increase. It's now urgent how many? 10K now. You understand? Say, hello, sweetie. I was just thinking my phone just got bad, you know. Demand. You know, I just need you to just help me with something to just fix my hair, you know. If I after fixing it, I'll send you the picture. You know? Hi. A lot of ladies are materialistic.
Yes, sir.
They are too materialistic. But honestly, I was so surprised. My wife she's not materialistic at all. I said, do women like this? She never asked me, not even once. Everything I ever gave her was out of my own volition. Because if you truly love, you will give. Wait, calm down. You know, when I said she never asked me for anything, some of the guys say, you too, why are you stingy? This is not an escape formula for giving to the one you love. The truth is that if you truly love somebody, you will give, you will sacrifice. Are you getting me? True love give. For God so loved the world. Wait, calm down. For God so loved the world that he shouted from heaven, humanity, I love you. Is that how he did? Is that what the scripture said? For God so loved the world, how did he prove his love? What did he give? His highest and his best. He gave his highest and his best, which is his life. God so loved us that he killed himself for us to prove his love. Say, no greater love than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. You see, what are you ready to lay down because of your beloved? My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands and thousands. My beloved is. You understand? So, as you are singing it, you prove it with. You understand? If you love God and his kingdom, you will give to what. Just like we are talking about GICC now. Let me tell you a story. A woman, female fan of Arsenal Football Club. She was a die-hard fan. You know, there's a whole called die-hard fan of Arsenal. And Arsenal fans are very emotional. Some of them are here. Now listen. The woman so loved Arsenal that she signed her will that if she died, everything she willed, all her property, all her money, everything to Arsenal Football Club. Why? Because she loves the club. And truly, after she died, her will, everything they gave the club. That one is even better than the next one I'm about to say. A woman died. She so loved her dog. Doggo. D-O-G. Dog. Of course, it's not Africa. You know, Africa will not do that kind of thing. Africa may be foolish. Africans may be foolish in some area, but not this area. Not this one. A white woman, American, she so loved her dog that she willed all her possession and wealth and inheritance to the dog. Real life story. Because of love. And you say you love God and his kingdom, and we don't see any proof. Now just mouth. Are you getting me? If people can will and give to their dog, people can do it for football club. There was a time when Barcelona wanted to sign Messi, when they wanted to renew his contract after they won World Cup, right? They wanted to renew his contract, but unfortunately, is it that they were bankrupt? They didn't have money to renew the contract. Do you know? I was surprised that a pornographic company agreed to donate millions of dollars to the club just for them to renew Messi's contract. I've forgotten the amount. I read of it. I said, my God. Pornographic company. Oh, they were ready to give millions of dollars. I said, this is our own contribution. We want Messi to renew with Barcelona. Why? Because they love him. There is no love without giving and sacrifice. Praise God. If you love God, we'll see it in your offering. Glory be to God in the heart. You even scatter everywhere, only you. How much? 5 naira. So 5 naira love for God. All those dance is for 5 naira love. Chai! Maybe God will make a law. People will dance according to the money they are going to give as offering. So if you you have 10 naira, you do 10 naira dance only. If you pass that one, we'll go arrest you. But thank God, God is not like that. Are you getting me? Netflix. Only you. Netflix, if we calculate how much Netflix has taken from you, is enough to even buy what, self? To buy land. But you've never given God that kind of money. You are giving Netflix. You have to think twice. If you want to know what you truly love, we'll track your spending. What do you spend most of your money on? Is a proof of what you love. And if it is not God and the things of God, you are wrong. Do you understand? If the number one thing you spend your money on and your time on and your effort on is not God and the things of God, you are wrong. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Listen to this. If you have the word of God without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit, you will dry up. If you have the Spirit without the word, you will blow up. But if you have both the word and the Spirit of God, you will grow up and glow well with the glory of God. I take it again. If you have the word without the Spirit, you will dry up. If you have the Spirit without the word, you will blow up. But if you have both the word and the Spirit, you will grow up and glow well with God's glory. Can you shout amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of what? The Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, just a few things on the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, that word communion is from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. Am I communicating? The Greek word translated communion in English is the word koinonia. Now, koinonia has over 13 synonyms. I'll list them. 13 synonyms. 13 meaning. Okay? Koinonia, number one, it means communion, just like you saw there. Give me this in Amplified. So the number one synonym of koinonia is communion, common union. Abi? Communion means what? Common union. Our oneness with God, we commune with Him because we are one with Him. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Okay, you see other synonym there. Communion is the first. Next, fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Koinonia means communion. It means fellowship. Next, it means what? Sharing together. Somebody say sharing together. It's like two individuals drinking from the same source. Okay? Sharing together. Okay? Next, koinonia means intimacy. Intimacy. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Number four. Oh, is it four or five? Five. Koinonia means intercourse. Intercourse. Intercourse with the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you have intercourse, pregnancy result, there is a proof. There are some proof of intimacy with the Holy Spirit and intercourse. It shows in the result that you bear. It shows in the kind of result that your life bears. Glory to God. You can't have intercourse with the Holy Spirit and be fruitless and be barren of results. Impossible. Your life will produce supernatural fruits and supernatural results to show for it. Next, koinonia means partnership. Somebody say partnership. Partnership with the Holy Ghost. Next, number seven now. Koinonia means joint participation. Joint participation. Eight, koinonia means communication. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communication of the Holy Spirit. Do you communicate with the Holy Ghost? Is this not what we call prayer? Prayer is communication with God, right? Who is the God you are communicating with when you pray? It's the Holy Spirit. Communication. Next, it means friendship. The friendship of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the best friend you can ever have. He's the best lover you can ever have. He's the best confidant you can ever have. Glory to God. Next, koinonia means comradeship. Comradeship is a comradeship. Glory to God. We talk about comrade of an association, right? You now belong to the fraternity. So he's the best comrade you can ever have. Next, 11. Koinonia means contribution. 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 So in that fellowship communion, there is contribution. Okay? Then 12. Koinonia means distribution. Distribution. There is contribution, there is also distribution. The Bible talks about the distributions of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I think Hebrews 2 verse 4 talks about the distributions of the Holy Ghost. Merismos. The Greek word is merismos. The gifts there. It says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs, wonders, with diverse miracles and gift of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Now it talks of, do you have a contemporary English version? Glory to God. It's talking of the distributions of the Holy Spirit there. It's not the conventional gift of the Spirit that was mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 9 to 7 to 11. It's not those nine gifts that it's talking about here, the gift in King James. In this Hebrews 2, 4, it's talking of the distributions of the Spirit. God himself showed that his message was true by working all kinds of powerful miracles and wonders. Also gave them the Holy Spirit to anyone he chose to. Hallelujah. Then 13, right? We say koinonia means number one, communion, fellowship, intercourse, sharing together, intimacy, partnership, participation, communication, friendship, comradeship, contribution, distribution, transportation. Number 13, transportation. Do you know, as you fellowship with the Holy Ghost, he can transport you spiritually. He can even transport you spirit, soul, and body. Who transported Philip after he finished baptizing the utopian eunuch that just gave his life to Christ? The Bible said the moment Philip came out of the water, he was caught up. He was transported spirit, soul, and body by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one transporting Prophet Elijah. Elijah knew about the transportation of the Holy Ghost. Elijah was a very strange man, very strange prophet. If you meet, you will just be walking. Suddenly, you just see him. How did he come? Holy Ghost airline. And after talking with you, you are not sure where next you will see him again. The spirit can just carry him again. Somewhere else. What a man. Hallelujah. So these are the 13 synonyms. Glory to God. Now, let me round up with this. How do you enjoy and maximize the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? How do you enjoy and maximize the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? Number one, get to know and understand His person and ministry. You must first get to know the Holy Spirit and understand His person and His ministry. You must understand His ministry as your comforter, your counselor, your helper, your intercessor, your advocate, your strengthener, your standby. Understand His ministry in you and then His ministry through you. His ministry through you is talking of the ministry of reconciliation. When you partner with Him, He shows Himself as the Lord of the harvest to win souls into the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, many Christians are not acquainted with the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you must get yourself acquainted. Acknowledge, recognize Him as a real person. Give me Acts 19 from verse 1 to 6. Interesting. Acknowledge and recognize Him as a real person and relate with Him as such. You know, Paul was passing through. It came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding what? Certain disciples. Verse 2. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? You see, they were believers. But he was asking them, since you believed in Jesus, since you got born again, have you received the Holy Spirit? Look at their response. They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Give me in Message translation. So can you see the number one enemy here was what? Ignorance. Ignorance about the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Are there Christians like that today? Yes. There are Christians that are ignorant about the Holy Spirit. You see why we have to teach? To educate and enlighten people. Glory to God. Listen. The Holy Spirit is not just for Pentecostals. Irrespective of your denomination, the Holy Spirit is for all Christians, all believers in Christ. After you receive Jesus, you confess Him as your Lord and Savior, the next thing is that you were supposed to receive the Holy Spirit to come and fill you, to come and live in you in His fullness. Not in a measure. Am I communicating? That was what Paul was asking. Have you received the infilling of the Holy Spirit? You know, people talk about two experiences. Two experiences. That's conversion, coming to Christ, getting born again. The second experience, they say, is what? The infilling, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I will come to that too. I will come to that. To correct some teachings along that line, okay? There's actually one experience, nothing like two experiences. Is being born again an experience? Okay, if a child is born into this world today, did the child have an experience? Tinkam, is that one an experience? New birth, is it an experience? It's not. It's not. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. He didn't have an experience. You understand? Eh? When my wife gave birth to Pibobo, was it an experience for Pibobo? He was born, the born arm. He didn't exist before. Somebody that didn't exist before came into being. Is that an experience? No. The only experience is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's the only experience. The first one is not an experience. Am I communicating?
A new birth is not an experience. It's reality.com. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Glory to God.
Malekobosa, recognize him. He say, have you received? They say, we don't even know anything like that. He say, did he get inside you? Look at what they said. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only, or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside you? We have never even heard of that. The Holy Spirit, God within us. See, their problem was ignorance. The problem here is not that the Holy Spirit has not been given. The Holy Spirit was given to all believers on the day of Pentecost. The next question is, have you received? Did you see the question? Paul did not say, has God given you the Holy Spirit? Because God has already done that. The question is, have you received the gift? You know, it's one thing to give someone a gift. It's another thing for the person to receive the gift. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift God has already given us. But it's one thing to give. It's another thing for you to receive the gift. So that was what Paul was asking them. Have you received? If you are here and you've not received the Holy Spirit, we'll pray for you. Am I communicating? You can't live this Christian life without him. Have you received? He said, we've not heard. They've never been taught. That is how some people, they go to church. Some don't even go to church at all. Worse. So how would they even know? Some go to church, but they've not been well taught. So in fact, some have been taught against the Holy Spirit. Wrong teaching. See, all those people, will be praying in tongues. Anjenu don't enter them. Sorry, if you are following anywhere from the world, Anjenu is an outsider word. It's not a Hebrew or Greek word. It's an outsider word. It means evil spirit. You know, there are people like that. When they hear tongues, they believe it's evil spirit that has possessed the person. There are some denominations that have been wrongly indoctrinated to believe that. Wrong teaching. The Holy Spirit is not only for Pentecostals. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Some of you need to unlearn some things. You need to renew your mind from all those wrong teachings they've taught you about the Holy Spirit. Teachings against praying in tongues. There are some churches, if you pray in tongues, boy, you collect slap. Ushers have been mandated to slap you. They'll just bundle you, carry you out of the church. They'll say, Anjenuya Shigawana. Am I communicating? Oh, people have limited the Holy Ghost because of ignorance. But look at what Paul did. Okay, just read down, go back to King James Version. Paul then preached to them, taught them correctly, and then he got them baptized, because initially they were baptized just with John's baptism. He taught them the word of God correctly, and then he ministered to them afterwards. Glory to God. Give me verse 5. And when Paul laid his hands, verse 6, upon them, what came upon them? The Holy Ghost. And the word? Speak with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. Number 2, recognize your need for him. Recognize your need for the Holy Spirit in your life. He's your indispensable helper. Recognize your need for the Holy Spirit and his ministry in your life. In John 5:19, even Jesus could not do without the Holy Spirit. John 5:19 and then John 5:30. He says, the Son can of himself do nothing. What is here the Father do, but what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Son. You see that? Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing.
is whatever the Father reveals to me. And how does he reveal it to him? Through the Holy Spirit that I do. Then verse 30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. Who speaks to him? Who speaks? The Holy Spirit. Then John 15 verse 5. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are what? The branch. He that abide in me and I in him, that's fellowship. Okay? The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do what? And remember, the Holy Spirit is another one of the same kind. So without the Holy Spirit, how many things can you do? Nothing. Raise up your right hand. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I recognize my need for you. Your presence in my life and your ministry. So, he is your most important helper. Receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit if you are yet to do so. Glory to God. Next, be hungry and thirsty for Him. We are looking at how to enjoy and maximize the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Be hungry and thirsty for Him. Be hungry and thirsty for His manifest presence in your life. John 7, 37 to 39. On the great day, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come to me. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Psalm 63, from verse 1 to 2. David the psalmist said, O Lord my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee, my flesh longed for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory. So you must be desirous. Is it? Spiritual hunger talks about an intensely strong and desperate desire for God. Spiritual hunger means an intensely strong and desperate desire for God, a passionate longing for the presence of God, a craving and a yearning of your heart for Him. Hallelujah. He said, we pour water upon him that is thirsty and flood upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. Isaiah 44 verse 3. Isaiah 55 verse 1. He said, lo, ho, 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 everyone that tasted, let him come to the water. Let him come and drink without physical money and without physical price. Because he's buying with another kind of currency. Is the spiritual currency of what? Spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger is a potent spiritual currency that you use for spiritual transaction. Listen, the Holy Spirit specializes in filling hungry hearts. The more hungry you are and thirsty for the Holy Spirit and His presence, the more He manifests His presence. Go and check churches that they are not hungry for God. Spiritual hunger is zero. Are you getting me? You will see that the Holy Spirit does not manifest His presence that much in those churches. But check churches that are hungry for God. From the prayers to the worship to the praise to the word, you see hunger. Palpable hunger. You know, somebody called me and told me something, a pastor. He said, he has never even been to AGMI, but he goes through our picture. He said, there is one thing I like about AGMI. He said, I see the hunger for God in the hearts of the people. He said, your people, I like the kind of people you are raising. You are raising the people that are hungry for God. It's very important. Never lose your hunger. Let me tell you more. Never lose your spiritual hunger. It's very important. Be hungry for Him. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What will happen? They shall be filled. The Holy Spirit will always respond to sincere and genuine hunger in your heart for Him. Jeremiah 29:13-14. He says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with what? All your heart. Hunger. Next key. How to enjoy and maximize the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Consistent fellowship with him through prayers. Consistent fellowship with him through prayers, comma, praise and worship, and then his word. Three things. You consistently fellowship with the Holy Spirit through prayers, through your praise and worship, and through his word. Acts 6 verse 4. The apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually. You don't go on break, not occasionally, continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. So you give yourself to prayer. You learn to tarry in prayers, even with periodic fasting. Fasting is a prayer intensifier. Am I communicating? You tarry in prayer. You spend time in fellowship. Isaiah 40:29. He said, even the youth shall, he said, he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no mighty increased strength. He said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall, what? Run and not be weary. They shall, what? Walk and not faint. That wait upon the Lord. The Hebrew word is kavah. One of the meaning of kava means to tarry. So you tarry in his presence. You tarry in prayer. Kava means to bind together by twisting. It's a picture of koinonia. Am I communicating? To gather together. Glory to God. Fellowship. There is no substitute for spending time with God in prayer. In his word, you learn to study the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show yourself approved. And then, beyond studying, you meditate on God's word day and night. You consistently meditate on the word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart of your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God abide in you richly. How do you make it abide? By meditating. Meditation is what will make the word to abide in you and make you one with the word. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 3:18, he said, we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we are being changed. We are being metamorphosed. Okay? I change into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That beholding there, the mirror is the word of God. You know, James told us, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God there is a mirror. Okay, so as you behold, contemplative meditation, when you are meditating, you are beholding God in his word, in the mirror of his word. And as you meditate by the power of the Holy Ghost, you are transported from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is the glory of God. So you learn to meditate, you study, then we talk about worship and praise. Very important. You offer unto God the sacrifice of your praise. You worship him. You learn to minister to the Lord in worship. In worship. Acts 13:2. The conference at Antioch that were composed of prophets and teachers. Okay? And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, from the work whereunto I have called them. In amplified version, that expression, minister to the Lord, simply means worship, as they were worshiping God. So that's to tell you a major way we minister to the Lord is by worshiping him. So when it is worshiping time, when it is time to worship and praise God, do it with understanding that you are ministering to the Lord. And when you minister to him, he will respond by ministering to us. Hallelujah. Samuel the priest knew how to minister to the Lord. Look at it, amplified. Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. That's the meaning. Minister, ministering to the Lord in worship. Hallelujah. So you offer to God the sacrifice of your worship. I'm showing you how to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So you tarry in prayer with fasting. Jesus prayed and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit. And the fame of him spread abroad. And his supernatural, miraculous ministry erupted. In Exodus 34, 27 to 35, you see how Moses went up to Mount Sinai to fellowship with God for 40 days and night. He was fasting. He was just beholding God's glory. And the Bible said he came back from that encounter. The skin of his face was shining, that he needed to veil his face from the children of Israel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you tarry in prayer with fastings. Next, partner with the Holy Spirit in faith. You see, it takes faith to fellowship with God that you cannot see. It takes faith, right? The God you cannot see with your eyes, invisible. You partner with him in faith, okay? That was how Enoch walked with God. It takes faith to walk with the Holy Spirit. It takes faith to fellowship with him. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is impossible without faith. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit is impossible without faith. Genesis 5:24. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Why? Because God took him. He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, the writer of Hebrew showed us how he walked with God. Give me Hebrews 11 verse 5. Let's see how he walked with God until he experienced a private rapture. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, before he was raptured, spirit, soul, and body, he had this testimony, before he was caught up to heaven, that he pleased God. Let's find out, how did he please God? Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You must believe God is real. You must believe the Holy Spirit is real. Your physical eyes may not see him, but it does not mean he does not exist. Have you seen air before? Have you seen oxygen before? Is he real? So the Holy Spirit too is realer than air and oxygen. Must believe he is there. Your intimacy is impossible. Your intimacy with the Holy Spirit is impossible without faith. You learn to rely and depend on him absolutely. You trust him wholeheartedly. Proverbs 3 verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay? You depend absolutely on him. You rely on him. You trust him. Trust him more than you trust human beings. Okay? Give me this in Message translation. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Verse 6. It says, listen for God's voice. I like this. In everything you do. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he is the one who will keep you on track. New Living Translation. Verse 6 in New Living Translation. Look at what it says. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Hallelujah. Next, walk in love. Love for God, and then love for people. Love him with the whole of your heart. The Holy Spirit is always at home in the heart of genuine lovers of God. If you love God, you will love his word. If you love God, you will love his kingdom. If you love God, you will love the house of God. If you love God, you will love to serve in his house. If you love God, you will love his people. You cannot love God without loving people. John 13, 34 to 35. Jesus said,
A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. So get rid and cleanse your heart of offense, bitterness, unforgiveness, malice, evil speaking, anger, wrath, and all of that. Okay? Put them off from your heart. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. Glory to God. John 14:21. Jesus said, he said something interesting. John 14:21. He says, he that had my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that love me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself. You see, the key to the manifest presence of God, dear, you want to see the Holy Spirit manifest his presence, he said the key is love. Love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Glory to God. Glory to God. That takes me to the next key. Jesus said it there. He said, he that loves me, he said, he that had my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that love me. In other words, the proof of love is obedience. When you love him, you will keep his word. You will keep his commandment. You will obey his voice. So that takes me to the seventh key. Walk in obedience. Obedience, absolute obedience, complete obedience, prompt obedience, obedience to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit, obedience to the word of God. Obedience must be prompt and must be complete. Delayed obedience is disobedience in disguise. Incomplete obedience is disobedience redefined. You must be fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. You must be fully submitted and surrendered to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, his instructions, his guidance and direction. Live a spirit-filled life. Spirit-led life, live it. Live a spirit-led life. Follow and obey his will, his voice and his leadings. Listen. There is no substitute for obedience. 1 million days of prayer and fasting will never substitute for obedience to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit. No amount of giving will cure disobedience. No amount of worship, no amount of kingdom service we help you if you are living in disobedience to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? The proof of submission is obedience. If they obey, Job 36:11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in what? If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. Obedience is the key to prosperity. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey. You will prosper. They shall spend their days in prosperity, their years in pleasure. The Holy Spirit knows everything that will help you succeed. And when he tells you, believe him. Act on his word. Isaiah 48:17. When he leads you, you don't lack. 48:17. When the Holy Spirit leads you, you prosper. You succeed. Am I communicating? Even in the midst of famine, economic recession, when you obey his voice and leadings, you will walk in abundance. He knows where the money is hiding. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. The Holy Ghost will teach you how to make profit in business, how to make profit in your career, how to make profit in your job, how to make profit in ministry, in every area of life. Glory to God. And which leadeth thee by the way thou shouldest go. Then look at 21, the result of his leading. Jump to 21:21. He said, and they tested not when he led them. They didn't test.
They didn't lack. They didn't suffer hunger. The children of Israel, they tested not when he led them. Through the desert, they were going through wilderness. And God ensured that they never lacked. Why? Because he was the one leading them and they were following his leading. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleaved the rock also. The waters gushed out. Can you shout amen? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20. Give me Nehemiah 9:20. He says, thou also gavest thy good spirit. Which spirit is that? Holy Spirit. To what? Instruct them, the children of Israel in the wilderness. And we tell them not thy manna from their mouth. When God leads, he provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pasture. When God leads you, you can never lack. He provides. They followed his instruction. They enjoyed manna. He gave them water for their thirst. 21. Yea, 40 years thou didst sustain them. They were supernaturally sustained. Why? They were following his leading in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. That will become your testimony as you obey and follow him. He said, their clothes wax not old, their feet swell not. 22. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, thou divide them into corners, so that they possess the land of Sion, the land of king of Heshbon, the land of the king of Bashan. Rise to your feet. The Holy Spirit. When you learn to follow his voice and leading, lack will be eradicated. Failure will be a thing of the past. When you learn to Isaiah 1 verse 9, he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat what? The good of the land. Is it Isaiah 1? Okay, let me 19. Give me 19. It's 1:19. If you are willing, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall what? Eat the good of the land. All you need to do, be willing and be obedient to follow his leadership. Total yieldedness, complete submission, total surrender. Your entire life, your decisions, your choices. Trust him enough. I want you to just whisper a prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. In 1-2 minutes, I yield totally, completely to your voice, to your leading. Can you go ahead and talk to him? Go ahead and talk to him. Go ahead and talk to him. Maleko frahazila hatia mandragabadia. In the time of famine, Elijah did not lack. Why? Because he kept hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit leading him. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to him. He said, go, turn yourself to the brook called Cherith, and hide there, and drink from the brook. And he said, for I have commanded the raven to feed thee. Because Elijah followed the voice of God, he didn't lack. He didn't lack. He didn't lack. He didn't lack. He enjoyed supernatural supplies. He enjoyed divine provision. The Holy Spirit will always lead you in the direction of God's will, God's plan, God's purposes. Go ahead and talk to him. Say, Holy Spirit, I receive grace to love you more. Let the love of God be shared abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I receive grace to walk in total obedience, prompt obedience, grace for complete submission, total yieldedness, grace to partner with you in faith, grace to fellowship consistently with the Holy Spirit in prayer, in praise, in worship, in God's word. Come on, go ahead and talk to him. Kabali Barose Fred, the leader Halabati.
Shelemondo Prakatiza Borakatai is your helper, is your strengthener, is your intercessor. The Bible says we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with words and groaning which cannot be put into articulate language. Liboragabada, He comes to our aid, He comes to our rescue, He prompts us up. Go ahead and just talk to the Lord. Maliboro se freketele mendo ko brakatia. Kalabasa balande ke breketoska ba. Shelimorondo frapaladia. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. All eyes closed, all heads bow. If you are here in this place, you want to say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to accept Him as my Lord and Savior. Or perhaps you are a child of God, but you backslid, you went back to the world, but you want to return to the loving arms of your Heavenly Father. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are. Lift up your right hand. Come to Jesus. Come to the cross. Lift up your right hand wherever you are, including those following online. And if you are lifting up your right hand, can you meet me in front? Oh yes, this is the best decision you can ever make. It's after you have surrendered your life to Jesus. Well, it's after you are born again, you will become qualified to accept the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to, is there anybody like that in the hall or those following online? Okay, for the sake of those following online, I want you to say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I believe you died for my sins. On the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess with my mouth, you are my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I receive eternal life into my spirit. In Jesus' name.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Zion King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.